Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
It's time for That Riot Show once again. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Here to talk about all the important and nonsensical issues of the day. Thank you for joining us. Judo Larry M., back from your recent trip to Arizona. How you doing?
I'm doing really fine. Beautiful weather in Arizona.
Yeah?
There are parts of the year where it gets super humid and it's horrible, but this was not it. I had a wonderful time there. It's Phoenix is great.
So you enjoyed your trip?
Yes, I did.
Any serious security issues, or was this a personal trip?
No, this was personal. This was actually not work related.
Yeah,
but
you have some hoochie stored away over there?
No. Well, if by hoochie you mean local hockey, but I went to see some family and friends. Excuse me, family, but. Right. Had a wonderful time. It was
good.
a wedding, actually.
Well, glad to have you back.
Yep. How about you?
I'm chilling out, enjoying what's been happening in the world, checking out all the latest news stories, of course, which you can always follow our take if you go to twitter.com/thatriotshow. You could also go to facebook.com/thatriotshow. And you know, Judo Larium, I've made it easy for our fans to find us anywhere we may be on the internet. So, for example, if you want to go to iTunes, just type in iTunes.thatriotshow.com, and that'll take you straight to our iTunes page. You could do the same with Stitcher, Stitcher.thatriotshow.com. You could also go to PlayerFM.thatriotshow.com, and you could also go to YouTube.thatriotshow.com. You getting the pattern there, Judo Larium?
There's a lot of dots.
Yes.
Are we on Al Jazeera yet?
Yeah, we should be. But and also riotousclips.thatriotshow.com. So that, you know, just think of anything we talk about, add a .thatriotshow.com after it, and you can find us. And, of course, you could always just go to our website, thatriotshow.com. Taking over the world, Judo Larium.
We are just blowing up.
Blowing that shit up.
And that's because we ride spinners.
That's right.
We ride spinners.
Right, spinners, bitches. But anyway, so the first thing, let's talk about Judo Larium, because it's on everybody's mind. Let's talk about Obamacare. Enrollment period officially over, at least for now, until Obama decides to change it again. And what do you think? Administration says 7 million total enrollments, the majority of which were previously uninsured. What do you think of
that? Yes, he's putting out 7.1 million. He made a point of saying the 0.1 million many times. He's calling it a success because their target, apparently, was 7 million.
Bullshit.
And of course, the which is super bullshit.
Of course.
Let's face it. You've got about, 40 million people. We talked about it last week. So many people without it, and they thought everyone was going to, I'm telling you, they thought everyone was going to flock to this and sign up, and they struggled even to get to 7.1 million.
Right.
And then, of course, they don't know how many have actually paid.
Correct.
They don't have the number. They claim that they don't have, but they will have it in the future at some point.
Yeah, when it's politically expedient.
Yeah, probably sometime after November. So he's claiming that this is a big success, and the fact that some people have seen their premiums double and even triple.
Right.
And as far as the almost 6 million who lost their coverage, you know, the standard argument now from the left has been, well, those were shitty plans, so who cares?
Right, right.
Which, of course, they know what's good for everyone.
Of course.
You know, if you had one of those plans, there's no way you could have been happy with
it. Right. Like, typical paternalistic liberals
douche.
Who know better than you do what's best for you and your family.
Right.
But what's interesting is, among those 7 million, in order to jack up the numbers, they're throwing in Medicare expansion. They're throwing in kids who got on their parents' policies until they're 26.
Yeah.
They're counting people who originally had their policies canceled because of Obamacare.
Right.
So when you look at it, even if you read even the liberal outlets like the LA Times,
HuffPo,
like CNBC, yeah. HuffPo, when you sort of triangulate what's happening, the best numbers I could come up with of those 7.1 million alleged enrollments into Obamacare, mm-hmm. only about between 1.5 and 1.9 million, somewhere in there,
yeah.
were previously uninsured.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you recall, the number of uninsured prior to Obamacare, before we had government takeover and intrusion into our liberties, was roughly 45, 46 million people.
Right.
So of those 45, 46 million people, Obama, for all this nonsense that he's put us through, for all the court rulings, for all the Supreme Court hand downs and everything, for all the bitterness, for all the gridlock, yeah. he's managed to ensure an extra, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, 2 million previously uninsured people.
Right.
That still leaves like what, 43 million
yeah.
that are uninsured?
Absolutely. And again, and I reiterate my belief that they thought all those people were just going to flood onto the site,
right.
sign up, and they were going to go, ha, ha, to all
right.
the Republicans and libertarians who object
right.
to this horrible plan.
To this horrible turning us into the fucking Borg in this country. Becoming, you know, the willful pawns of the government. Right. And it's horrible. And even worse, of the people that have signed up, almost like an insignificant amount are the people they were targeting, which were young people.
Right.
Now, Judah
and those are the people they need.
Of course. Of yeah. course. Because when you throw it into any socialized pot, the people who are subsidizing the older, it's like Social Security. It's a Ponzi scheme. Who supports the older people in that Ponzi scheme? New workers
people.
Coming in, right? That's the way Social Security works. Same thing for Obamacare. To cover all those women who want to have 20 kids without support, to cover all the subsidies for the uninsured, the poor, whatever, who do you need? You need young people who aren't going to get sick to pay into the system.
Right.
And of course, now tell me the logic of this. Why would any young person buy his own policy when he could stay on his parents until they're 26?
They're 26 years old. And
so they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Right. And even if you did, you have to realize young people still have the habit of thinking that they're invincible.
Of course.
And nothing's going to go wrong. And they don't want to spend money on this right now.
Plus their parents, for the most part, right. are covering them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, look, I understand it. Look,
it's a complete fucking failure
yeah,
is what it is.
If you want to claim that getting a million or two extra people some the health care.
It would have been cheaper just to buy them the health care on the open market as a government handout.
Well, that's always been my thing. My idea of the perfect health care system would be, forget the government. I mean, they don't know what they're
doing. Cut them
out. My thing is this. You go to a doctor. You get a total physical.
Right.
They get your history.
Right.
Everything. And what you should be allowed to do in a perfect world, you should be able to send it to any insurer that we have in this country.
Right.
Aetna,
right.
Blue Cross, you know, Patriot, right. whatever.
No now state boundaries.
Right. Now, that's a problem. We have a lot of state boundary
yes.
rules.
Yes.
And I hate that.
And actually, that's one of the times I would allow the federal government to exercise its muscle through the Commerce Clause
right.
to say, why can't these companies cross state
right.
lines?
It's like a monopoly. You're keeping out competition.
This is one of those rare instances, Judah Lariam, where I would go in the opposite direction and say,
right.
If the federal government's going to exercise any sort of muscle.
To open markets.
Open the markets.
Open the states. So what I would like to see is any healthcare provider in this country. Have you ever sent something, I think, is it called BizRate or one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever look up a product,
sure.
you get like an entire list.
Right.
I was looking up like winter boots one time and I got something like Zappos and like all these different ones. What I would like
Same
to say.
Same thing happened to me when I was looking for penis pumps, by the way.
But you got yours from outside the country. Which is
the Swedish penis.
The Swedish one. I was about to say.
Yeah,
came with a meatball,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
So what I would like to see is, you get your health care. You
sure.
Go for a physical. Go
right.
to Quest Diagnostics. Get it all together. And I would like to email it to every healthcare provider that I want to send it to.
Yes.
They look at it. They review it. And they
right.
say, look, based on your health and your system, your,
this is what we're offering
what we're
you.
Saying, here's what we're going to offer you. And, you know, you could either pick it by whichever is cheapest. You could do it
right.
however you want
right.
to do it,
right.
whichever gives you the best coverage.
In other words,
and
you want to shop the way you would for car insurance,
exactly.
home insurance,
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. Why are they overthinking this?
Right.
So my thing is, I would like to get it that way and then just say, okay, so you're going to charge me, what, $400 a month, $300 a month, whatever they're going to charge
right.
me. I make my payments.
By the way.
But.
By the way, before you finish, those rates would come down because now you're opening the markets to competition then, all over the country.
And they have to offer you a better plan at a cheaper price.
Right.
But what I would like to do is have that. And but here's the agreement, though. It has to be, I'm making my payments. As long as I make my payments, they have to cover me.
Yeah.
They have to cover me 100%. No more in-network, out-of-network. All this, but that's what confuses people. That's what drives everybody crazy. Saving plans, office visit, like all this stupid shit that goes on in the healthy. It's as simple as this.
I don't even think I agree with that portion. I don't even agree
with
that restriction.
But why should I have to have like a deductible? Forget that.
But that's how other insurance works.
Yeah, but that's, but here's what they should do. Yeah, but it's simpler. You just make your payment, and as long as I'm paying for my policy, you have to cover me. So whether I need a splinter taken out of my ass or whether I need triple bypass, you have to pay for the whole thing. That's on your end.
You call me for the splinter in your ass, by the way.
Well, after the taint thing, I don't know if I can trust you anymore.
You were
way too interested in the violation of my body. And so was Dr. Jellyfinger.
Yeah, by the way, I only agree with you about 80%. Like the last 20% I won't go with you on because I don't want the government telling private business how to effectively run its business. In other words,
they have to cover you.
No, that's contractual. If you pay your premiums, they'll cover you for what you agreed to be covered.
But that's all I said.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, when you say deductibles, you could have deductibles if you want to have a lower premium.
Nah.
You could have a higher deductible for a lower premium. That's what some people choose.
Make it simple. It's as simple
as you make
your monthly payment, you're covered.
Yeah, but decide to buy that, right?
But that's what I'm saying. You go online.
Yeah, some people choose to pay lower premiums with higher deductibles. Some people choose to do that. Like I do that with my current medical, right? Because I'm still relatively young. So I have a higher deductible for a lower premium.
But you're fat.
That goes in without saying.
Keep the government out of it. I think let me shop myself around.
Absolutely.
They develop a policy based on my health. What is more appropriate than I'm paying healthcare based on me?
Life insurance already.
Right. But why should I have to pay for people who smoke?
Right.
People who destroy themselves with liquor and cigarettes and like socialize. Why should I be on a waiting list?
Why are you paying for maternity care?
Remember the story I told you about the woman in Toronto who got sick and they put her on a 3-year waiting list for her health. An operation like on her hip because health minister told her they can only do 10 a year.
Right.
And she was number 30 on the list.
Right.
That's insane.
Why should I
have to put up with that?
Well, why should anybody have to put up with that?
Why should I have to go to another doctor in the network? Why can't I go to my
doctor?
Plus,
even with Obamacare,
hospital.
Yeah, even with Obamacare right now, you're hearing stories about the insurance not being accepted at some of the better hospitals, like Obamacare insurance. You're hearing stories of like
doctors getting out of it.
Not stories, but actual fact is like you have old men, single men in their 50s paying for gynecological care or for orthodonty because that's part of the requirement for any policy under Obamacare that men have to pay to cover themselves for OBGYN. Why? Why? Yeah. The thinking is that you're subsidizing. You're subsidizing poor women is what it comes down to.
Right.
Right. So if you're on an Obamacare plan, you have to pay your money that you're paying for your gynecological care.
My gynecological. Well, now that I have a vagina because of the taint removal.
But I mean, it's ridiculous. I've never heard of any such backwards ass things. And I mean, look, this isn't Monday morning quarterbacking, folks. We knew it was a pile of steaming shit from the second it was recommended. And just socialized medicine in general, socialized anything in general sucks a big dick.
Yeah, anything socialized is just bullshit. It's just bullshit.
And you know this is all
bullshit.
It's amazing
because the amount of people still believe in it, though. It's frightening.
It's like
this is just a failed way of doing things.
And I've been listening to a lot of talk radio where people call in and say, oh, but now I'm covered and before I wasn't. You know what that is? You're just taking a handout.
Right.
You're taking a handout.
It has to be, because you're taking it from somebody else and you're giving it to some other schnook.
Exactly. And you're crippling healthcare in this country in general.
Right.
You're lowering the standard of care.
Exactly. I was about to say, the quality is going to be lower. So it's...
Yeah. What, you think that it's going to be just like Canada. If you need some sort of special surgery and you don't rate, what do you think? They're going to put you at the head of the line?
No, that's, we talked about this before, and that's what I always talk about. You know what their system's good for? Even though I said it as part of a joke.
Preventative care.
Exactly. It's good for the, no, but it's good for like the splinter in the ass.
Yeah.
It's good for like if you just, you need two stitches.
Yeah.
It's good for that. You go in, boom.
A flu shot.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're not paying any, you're just in, you're out. It's that. But if you need something serious.
Yeah. You're fucked.
Oh, please. That's why on one of our old shows, I told the story about that hockey player.
Yeah.
Who, when he got sick, did he stay up there in Montreal? No. He went to Atlanta in a hospice because he knew that the level of care for what he needed was shit.
Yeah.
Or merde.
So, le shit.
Le merde de hospital.
Yeah. Le PU.
Yeah, but so, and here's the other thing. Do you really think if this Obamacare was successful, that the Obama administration would be hiding the numbers?
Yeah.
Don't you think these people trumpet every little victory?
Of course.
Like they trumpeted the fact that the website was up for four consecutive days as if that's an accomplishment. You know what I mean? So you have an administration that trumpets every small piece of shit as a major victory, and they won't tell you what percentage of the people have made their first payment.
And that's such horseshit.
Yeah.
That's such horseshit. There are businesses that can tell you like how many paperclips they sold.
Yeah. Do you know how many businesses there are? Every goddamn business does that, or else they wouldn't be in business.
Right.
Are you trying to tell me Obama doesn't
have numbers,
know? Yeah.
They all have metrics. They all have everything.
Especially insurance companies.
Of course.
They have actuarial tables out the ass. They know every statistic about everything.
And they can tell you the age of people. They can tell you the gender of people.
Yeah.
They can tell you everything.
Yeah. I mean, I work as an analyst, and I can tell you it's unbelievable the amount of data we have on people, whether they like it or not.
Of course. And the reason they don't want you to know is because
it's a failure.
Yeah, exactly. At most, I'm telling you right now, they got a million people they've added, maybe 1.5 million.
I think it's just a shade under two is the best that I can estimate. From all the different sources. You know, some will say 1.5, others say 1.7. I've seen 1.89. But I'm saying, all right, let's be generous. Let's call it 2 million.
Yeah, but that's about it.
For all the money you've spent, for the incredible debt you've added to the national debt, you know, the extra debt you've added to the national burden, you're talking about covering an extra 1.7%? It would have been cheaper to cut them a $4,000 or $5,000 check directly and said, go buy insurance with this.
Would have been better to kill them.
Oh,
did you fart?
No.
Oh, I that reaction. I was like,
oh, that's just mean, Judah Larium. That's mean spirited.
I meant killing them softly, killing them with love. What a bunch of fucking losers. And the worst part is while Obama's standing there, 7.1 million, Biden's standing there with those friggin' George Washington fake teeth that he has, smiling like a caricature, for God's sake.
Oh, he said, listen, anybody, even the people who voted for Obama, can't possibly believe he's transparent like he promised.
Oh, there is such horseshit. He was going to be the most transparent administration ever.
Are you trying to tell me, people on the left, that you think Obama has given us all the numbers?
But even the NSA stuff, I mean, he hasn't been transparent on anything.
It's horrible. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
And
by the way, what happens next year when all these policies get canceled because people have been paying the premiums?
Exactly.
What happens when the insurers realize that most of these people are high-risk pool and they cancel them because the premiums aren't covering the risk, what the actuarial tables say they should be covered for?
That's it.
What happens when all those kids go over 26 and fall off their parents' coverage and they've been lazy shits their whole lives?
Right.
Because you as a government have been promoting the fact that Obamacare means that you don't have to go to work.
Right.
What fucking happens then?
Right. And then, of course, you realize that once they find out how much this thing costs.
Right.
Forget it. I mean, they're going to be looking for working in like companies where you can get insured. Your
and guess what? Most companies are cutting back jobs and hours because Obamacare is becoming too much of a burden. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
No, but there definitely are cases.
But a lot of them.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so Obamacare, big failure.
Yeah.
Big failure. Big liberal failure. Absolutely no doubt about it.
a 7.1 on the Richter scale of failure.
Cock-sucking failure.
Yeah, that is the worst.
Piece of pussy shit failure.
One more time.
Queef shit.
Oh, nice.
We need our friend Steve Velke to come by. And he used to give us arias of curses that were beyond beautiful.
If there was ever a person who could invent like a hyphenated curse or a mixing, like whoever invented motherfucker has nothing on Steve Velke. Let me tell you some cunt shit. You and your dick fucks over there. Like, just...
Yes, he was like an idiot savant of cursing.
Without the savant.
Hey, you know what? I'm making sure I'm going to make this a riotous clip and send it to Steve.
Send it to him. He's down in the Carolinas now.
Where?
He doesn't care.
Where is he?
He's down there.
In the sticks?
Yep. He's about, let me tell you, he's about 37 miles from Charlotte.
Don't give out his address.
I'm making that up. It's not his address.
Yeah, and we're not even insinuating.
If I told you last night I was 37 miles outside New York City, what does that tell you?
Yeah, but there's like 5 people in North Carolina.
That's true. You could probably find them if you really wanted them.
Can you imagine? You just go
V-E-L. It's Velke again.
Oh, man. All right. What else we want to talk about? Oh, tragedy yesterday, Juno Lariam.
Horrible.
The Fort Hood shooting.
Yeah. Again.
I thought somebody was printing like an old article when I first heard about this.
At first, I thought they were revisiting it to talk about the first
guy. Yeah, I thought it was
an
anniversary or something.
Yeah, like I thought it was the original story. It turns out that a military officer, apparently 34-year-old Ivan Lopez, he's been identified. Apparently, I was reading something today. They're trying to figure out why this happened. Now they're speculating, it's just speculation, but one of the generals or colonels, his last name was Miley, Millie, M-I-L-L-E-Y, he said that he thinks that he was arguing with some of the soldiers before and it got very heated.
Right.
And that he came back and now we know he seems to have killed 3 or 4 people.
Well, they said he was being treated for
PTSD.
PTSD. And they said that the only drug they had prescribed, unless I misread it, was Ambien. Like, he wasn't on any psychotropics or anything. And once again, clearly a case of a man with mental health issues, a person with mental health issues. Now, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. What I thought was ridiculous was these anti-gun advocates immediately seizing on the fact and saying we need to control guns.
Well, they always say that.
But let me ask you something. Ironically, aren't military bases gun-free zones?
Well, they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's my whole point. You're not allowed to carry a gun as a sidearm or a concealed weapon on a military base. It sounds contradictory.
Right.
Like, if you can't trust our nation's soldiers to have guns, who the fuck are you going to trust? But we made them gun-free zones. And what happens in a gun-free zone every time there's a lunatic, Judo Lariam?
Right.
People die. They have no way of defending themselves.
Right.
And that's what happened again in this case. It was a gun-free zone. This guy, and again,
he wound up shooting himself.
And he ended up committing suicide. So, again, why are we saying that this is a Second Amendment issue? I don't understand the logic behind it.
Right.
It's the same logic that says...
It's a mental health issue.
Yeah. It's the same logic that would say you don't need a fire extinguisher because we have firemen. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, people say you shouldn't have a gun, just call the police.
Yeah, that's...
Right? I'm saying if you applied the same logic, you would say you don't need a fire extinguisher in your kitchen. If you have a grease fire, just call the cop. Just call the fireman.
Call the fire department.
Right? Which is, of course, horse shit.
Right.
They said the rampage only lasted 11 to 15 minutes at Fort Hood.
Yeah.
And you know what the average response time is for a 911 call? About 15 minutes.
15, 20 minutes,
So, at that point, look at all the damage that was done before any cops could have come, assuming they were called immediately.
Right.
So, the whole argument of liberals, just suck my dick already with that shit.
Yeah.
Gun-free zones. Every place that has been a massacre has been a gun-free zone.
Right. Movie theater.
Movie theater. Schools. Military bases.
Military bases, which, again, you're right. It does sound counterintuitive that they wouldn't have any firearms.
That there wasn't one or two sentries with a firearm that could have, like, to sound completely cold, that could have put a bullet in this guy before he killed, what was it, 4 people?
4 people and injured.
Yeah, critically injured several others.
Yeah. I just, you know what?
And they ended up not stopping him because he shot himself.
Yeah, not thank God, but
I know what you mean. I mean, I know
at least that brought an end to it. But there is this just ongoing thing, like the guy who shot the Arizona congresswoman, the guy who shot the people at the Batman movie,
yeah,
this kid at the school in Connecticut, all mentally unstable, all diagnosed like schizophrenic or depressive, or it's just it's amazing. And what I was reading something the first time.
Yeah.
They said the same thing. They said, why is it that, look, we have a mental health issue in the country, but why is it that some people who are mentally ill, why are some violent and why are some not?
Yeah.
And the ones who are, what is kicking in that they decide they have to start harming people? And
well,
I understand what the people who on the left who don't like guns.
Right.
I understand their point because the guns makes it easy and the carnage is horrible.
It's an easy
target.
But you
have to remember, like, the Oklahoma City bombing was a bomb.
Right.
And you have to realize that there are, you know, there are constantly like stabbings and like, there's a lot of ways to inflict damage and carnage on people. It's just something about the guns that is particularly disturbing.
Well, they're scared of guns. Let's be honest.
Oh, absolutely.
They're scared of guns. Yeah. And not only are they scared of guns, for the most part, I think they're people who are just, they're not people who want to stand up for themselves in life. That's my opinion, by the way.
Well, I agree with that to the extent that these are people who
they would rather have the cops handle
just
it.
The cops do. They want the law to do it. They want to stick to the law, which is not in itself wrong.
It's not wrong, but
obviously we live by the rule of law. But
why would you prevent others from protecting themselves?
Right. If I want to have a firearm to protect my own, that's, you shouldn't, you know, like that stupid newspaper in like upstate New York that printed everybody's address. Or
right.
You shouldn't be doing things like that. That's not even any of your business.
Right. But it's also like a security issue because now you've told all the criminals where all the guns are.
Right. But there's definitely a large segment, and they're usually in urban areas, who don't like guns. They're a little afraid of them. And of course.
And let's face it, a larger number of them are women.
No, women are actually large gun owners.
In the South.
Yeah.
Like in New York, in San Francisco, in Chicago, you're not going to have women.
No.
That's where all these
you don't
like
have a lot of people.
Moms demand action bullshit and things
but
like
you
that.
You don't have a lot of people owning guns in urban areas, period. Then the people
by law.
Do,
but that's because by law.
Well, yeah, but I think it has something to do with the temperament of people. Like, for instance, if you grew up in the country, or if you wanted to, you probably have grew up with like hunting and fishing.
Right.
And
right.
You probably already been you're used to it.
Right.
And it's a different mentality.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. And part of that is picking to the extent possible when you're an adult where you want to live. I know a lot of people that moved from New York to Texas precisely because they were big Second Amendment guys.
Yeah.
At least three people that I've known personally have left New York and New Jersey
people,
to head for Texas.
Oh, no, people do that. We have a friend, I won't say his name, but we have a friend who just moved to Florida for the tax reasons.
Yeah, because there's no state income tax there.
Yeah, exactly.
Florida, Texas, New Hampshire, you know, more libertarian-leaning states, conservative states. But again, it's always been the issue with me. The same thing that I guess liberals would object to what we used to call the religious right telling you how to live your life. That you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't gamble, you shouldn't have premarital sex, you shouldn't have gay sex, right?
Right.
The left very easily seizes that and says, you shouldn't be telling me what to do.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But they have no problem having... Now, here's the difference, though. Those religious nuts on the right, for the most part, acted on their own, for the most part. In other words, you may have elected a candidate that was anti-abortion or something like that, but for the most part, they stayed out of your life via the government.
Yeah.
The left, though, works almost entirely through the government, right? So they have the government pass pro-gay marriage rulings in the courts. Mm-hmm. They have anti-gun legislation that they're trying to push through and ram down people's throats, right?
Right.
Like in New York, the classic thing where they passed the law at midnight so no one would have time to debate it.
Right.
Okay? The left is almost exclusively using the government and the force of law to get their agenda passed. And by agenda, I don't mean a political agenda. I mean almost like their moral agenda.
Right. Well, they know if they can't do it at the ballot box, they're going to do it.
Thou shalt have no guns because we are fraidy cats.
Yeah, no, but that's actually true. They're just really afraid of just guns. I mean,
right.
in particular. But it is funny because you said something last week which struck me as absolutely right. When did these people start becoming trusting of government? These used to be the people, when I grew up in this, these are the people who hated government. Just flat out, they were like, you know, the whole don't trust anybody over 30 stuff,
right,
you know.
Right.
Now they've become the big, the federal government. That's the way to get things done.
Yeah.
And that is amazing.
Well, it was funny because I was watching, as I usually do on occasion, just to refresh my soul, as it were. On occasion, I will watch old lectures by Milton Friedman on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I watch old firing lines.
Yeah. They're great. And Milton Friedman, a lot of times, people don't realize that when he went out, people think Milton Friedman was this, like, old, grumpy conservative and stuff.
No,
he wasn't. He was a libertarian. Yeah. And there were if you look at certain of his lectures, one of the ones that always struck me, someone said, well, we had Jane Fonda in here last week. This was in the mid-70s, and you know, she, you know, would be against you and all that. And Milton Friedman would shock these people by saying, I think Jane Fonda's right. Yeah. I want to get the government out of my business.
Right.
I don't like the draft. I think that's coercion, right? And the people would sit there studying. He goes, where I think Jane Fonda goes wrong is she thinks the solution is more government or different people in government, right?
Right.
So she didn't have an objection to government imposing its will on you. She just had a problem with the current government doing it.
Right.
She wanted her radicals in power,
right,
not the Nixonians at the time.
Yeah, but there's also the whole business with them that they at the time, you know, you had the Vietnam War and the draft,
right,
and they just, you know, their whole attitude is they just didn't want any part of it.
Right.
Yeah, they were more interested.
But did you notice that most of it seems
blood.
To, didn't you know, the common theme, now that I think about it, wasn't pro or anti-government at the time. It's just fear. Liberals are always afraid for their personal safety.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want
Absolutely.
To go to, they didn't want to go to Vietnam. They didn't want to fight.
Right.
Right? Then they didn't want to, you know, now they don't want to have guns. You know, they don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. They're always worried about their personal safety.
Right.
And I'm generalizing, of course. But
they're always the first to think that their rights are being, like, deliberately targeted and, like, deteriorated.
Well, look, not anymore. Now you have the Tea Party that, for example,
yeah,
is worried about individual rights. I think liberals are worried about collective rights.
Yeah.
They think, for example, that I'm worried that all transgendered people are not being treated fairly in the workplace. That's the type of rights that liberals are worried about. Groupthink. Collectivism.
I don't know if you know this, but your voice changes when you impersonate a liberal.
Yes.
You like cock.
I like cock in my ass.
Well, then that would explain the voice.
But, you know, in all seriousness, that's what I've noticed. Liberals like to defend the rights of the group, of the collective.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if you look at libertarians, conservatives to some extent, but libertarians more, it's like we're interested in protecting the rights of the individual.
The individual, of course.
And if 10 individuals want to get together and form a group, God bless them. But it doesn't lessen the rights of the individual.
Right.
That's the key, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but they are definitely, it is definitely a world belief or belief system, excuse me, that looks at the group. And if
liberalism.
If it's good for 8 out of 10, that's better.
Right.
And if the 2 get screwed, pfft,
right,
you know,
right,
you're probably stupid or you're wrong. Or
and
you're,
all 8
you're
have
evil.
To be treated equally. All 8 have to have the same results.
Yeah.
All 8 have to be equally taken care of.
Right.
Right. And if one of those 10 happens to be a little more ambitious and wants to succeed a little bit more, shame on him for being greedy.
Yeah.
Or shame on her for being greedy. Right. And that's the basic difference. And I don't know when this country, Judo Larry M, turned away from the individual and switched over to the group. Because I've noticed now,
post-World War II, even doing that,
even Republicans,
yeah,
to a lesser extent, but even Republicans now do have this group thing.
Yeah.
You know, just that their groups happen to be like religious groups or something.
Right.
Right. Where are the true I think the only people who are worried about the individual right now as a political group are either the anarchists on the far left
or
the libertarians on the far right.
Good news on the libertarian front. I got an email from them. Their registration, voter registration went up 11% last
Excellent.
Year.
Excellent. In New York or nationally?
No, just nationally.
Good.
So just throwing that out there as well. But
yeah.
No, but look, that is one of the reasons, and I've spoken about this before, that is one of the reasons why after being a lifelong Republican.
Yeah.
around 2000, at this point, six or seven, I changed my registration to Libertarian. And I've been helping them, and I subscribe to Reason. And, you know, it's a much better place to be because, like, quite honest, and you know, I've said this before, the religious right, I have no use for them. And, you know, as far as, like, the gun people, well, I actually agree with them, but I'm not going to base my politics on it.
Right.
I'm concerned with the rights of the individual. I mean, that's why, like, for instance, when I was talking about the healthcare before, I'm looking at it from an individual point of view.
Absolutely.
If you're 400 pounds and you smoke and do whatever, why should I be paying for you?
I just want to pay. I did,
no, you're 500 pounds, but I do.
Big boy!
Big boy! But I do look at it as I'm an individual.
Yeah.
I would like my healthcare plan to be based on me,
yes,
not everybody else, not in this obese society. why am I paying for this shit?
Why do you stare at me when you say obese society?
I didn't. I stared at your stomach, which proves you're not Phil. But you know, everything for me is like that. You know, just, and that's how I look.
Yeah,
like,
I even agree
when,
with
you know, it's one of the reasons. Like when I used to work in corporate America,
yeah,
it was one of the reasons why I wasn't. Even though I did it briefly, I wasn't crazy about being a manager.
Hmm.
You know why? Because everybody's like, well, what's wrong with being a manager? I say, look, I don't want to manage a whole group of people. I don't want to hear their fucking problems.
Right, right.
And when they screw up, not only do I not want to have to give them shit over it, I don't want to figure out what they did wrong.
Right, right.
I drive myself crazy. You know what's great about my job? Right? It completely reflects on me.
Right.
I'm in complete control of it. I do what I want to do. And everything that I do, the security gig, it's just me.
Right.
It's just me. Not that people work for me, but
there
are, it's just, this is it. And I can perform to the best of my ability, and I don't have to answer to anybody. And
you know. Well said, Jude O'Larian. Yes, well said.
And if only this country would have a flat tax, I'd be thrilled.
No, we need a flat. But you know what? That there are idiots out there that think a flat tax is unfair.
Why are you staring at Democrats?
Because I keep hearing them. Do you hear, like, there's people who will come on and say, even politicians will come on and say, a flat tax is inherently unfair. And you say, why?
Why?
They'll say, because a rich person's 50%. Still allows them to live well, whereas a poor person's 50% or whatever.
Yeah, but that's always their argument. Why would a poor person pay the same amount as a rich person who has a shitload of money? Yeah. And then, of course, once you think that, you start thinking that the rich should pay a lot more, and it's okay to fleece them out of their money. Bullshit.
Right.
One flat rate, 20%.
Right.
Suck it.
Yeah. Put it at 20%, and everybody pays the same amount. You don't have to worry about what the other person is paying.
That's right. That's none of your business.
Yeah. And if you say, well, the poor shouldn't have to pay that much, let me also remind you that the poor also receive the bulk of government services.
Of course.
See, so it's not it's not like they're just getting fucked on the tax end, which they're not, because if everybody pays a flat tax, by mathematical definition, we're all paying the same amount.
Scum.
You dumb public school educated fucks. you dumb ass common core learning motherfuckers.
Acorn losers. You know what this reminds me of? And I think I mentioned this before. I saw an interview with Michael Moore.
Oh,
and
shit.
He was talking about the government and the programs and the money. And he goes like this. Some guy asked him. The reporter just kept asking him about how are we going to pay for this? And where's the money? And he went, he goes, you know, us liberals, we were always good at history and social studies. We were never good at math. He actually I was like, boy, he's not fucking lying for the first time in his life. You guys are terrible at math.
But it's horrible. It's horrible that people still can't grasp the concept, you know, or they don't grasp the concept that, yeah, you may be paying the same percentage in taxes, but you're getting a way bigger percentage of the expenditures.
Right.
Right? So, you know, let's get with it. Flat tax all the way.
Yeah, get rid of all the
and pay
loopholes.
Taxes just once.
Yeah, and you could do your taxes on a postcard.
Oh,
for God's
that's what I wanted to tell you. I have new disgust for the American tax system. Because last week, I had to go get my affairs in order. Not that I'm dying or anything. I know a lot of people would like me to be. But, you know, it's just that time, that age in someone's life where if you're responsible, you say, you know, I got to go to a lawyer, set up my estate, set up my wills, you know, and all that.
Yeah, I did that a couple of years ago.
Do you know how much shit you have to go through so that the government doesn't fuck you in the ass when you're dead?
Yeah.
Like between estate taxes, probate taxes, matching caps on the federal and the state level. It's like, well, the federal level has it at this level, but the state level is 10 times lower. So you should set up a shell corporation. You know, it's like, and I'm convinced that at some level, the only people who benefit out of all this shit are the fucking lawyers.
Yeah.
Why is it that I've paid taxes on my inheritance? I've paid taxes on the estate I want to leave my family.
Right.
What the fuck?
Why are they double dipping?
Why is the government got their fucking hands in the money I want to leave my kid, for example?
So in other words, you're saying, get your hand out of my pocket. Get your hand out of my pocket. You know what you're doing. Get your hand out of my pocket.
You fucks. I don't get it. I don't get it. I know there's some fucking rimmed glass liberal cocksucker out there that'll say, well, your kids didn't earn that money.
Yeah, thanks.
Guess what, stupid?
Communist.
We're a family society here. We all work. Those of us that are married and have kids, we work for our kids. I have every reason to believe that my kid will be in a better financial situation than I am. But guess what? I still scrimp. I still save so I can give it to my kid.
Right.
Judo Larry M's a bachelor, and I know he saves his cash.
Yep. But I have a lot of girlfriends.
Yeah.
I can't leave them anymore.
He saves a lot of cash that he has to spread amongst a lot of pussy.
A lot of ass.
Judo Larry M likes visiting the occasional strip club on occasion. And he
Excuse me.
Despite the color of his skin, he enjoys making it rain. Let me just say that. We're wearing spinners.
We ride spinners. Well, let me tell you, strip clubs is inappropriate.
Yes.
Everybody knows that they are legitimate dance halls.
There you go.
I like to go in there and motorboat and do some other things that are.
Oh, yeah. Motorboat, get that stinky pinky going on occasion.
What's the problem? I'm putting money into the economy.
Yeah. Well, you Kensians should be happy with that shit.
Assholes.
That's the one thing I will also say against the right. Please, please stop with your morality shit.
Oh, please.
I can't take it anymore. You want to be religious, for God's sake. I don't care.
That's what I've been telling you since the 80s. I don't remember them being such assholes when I was a kid.
But if you want to get your dick sucked, why should it be illegal?
Right.
I don't get it.
And if somebody wants to perform this job and they want to be paid for it, this is, I mean, literally,
no matter
this is
what
none
his
of your
background.
Business, but it's none of your business. Even if he's a miserable guy like me.
Yeah, no, seriously, I mean, why would it be a big deal?
It shouldn't be.
Yeah. Like, but if you want to zone it so it's not near schools and shit like that, fine.
All right.
You want to zone it? Fine, zone it.
No, you know what? Actually, that's always been my thing. Like, prostitution, gambling. Like, you know what you do? You zone it. You put it in, like, some part of town where it's not an eyesore.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that's, like, the Vegas part of town.
Right.
That's it. Keep it out of everywhere else.
Right.
So, if as long as you keep it out of 98% of the town, of the city, what do you get? Everybody knows that's the sleazy part of town, whatever. And if you want to get a blumpkin like John gets
I love blumpkins.
From some male friends of his. If you want to go gambling, why should gambling be illegal?
I to this day, I don't know why gambling's illegal.
It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Listen,
look, if people want to put, the stock market is gambling.
Right.
If you want to put your money out there, that's your money.
Yeah. And that's my point is, like, why is gambling, forget prostitution, why is gambling illegal? I don't think prostitution should be illegal either.
Well, I can tell
but
you
why
right,
is gambling
I can,
illegal?
I can tell you right now because.
Organized crime?
No, because people are afraid that there are too many people right now, and I know this because I just saw a debate on it the other night. There are 9 million gambling anonymous
right.
and like that, and people that they're afraid are just going to destroy their lives.
So what?
I know that, but that's the argument that they're afraid. Like, for instance, I was gambling one time on a riverboat in St. Louis.
Ah.
And they only let you gamble 500 for the night. You can't go above 500 bucks.
Bullshit.
Yeah, but it's a way of keeping you from, like, destroying it. Yeah.
Listen.
But that's the thinking behind it.
I agree with you.
It's bullshit, but that's the thinking behind it.
Listen, I'm a fat fuck. Does that mean I can't spend more than 200 bucks on groceries a week?
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know,
come
you
on.
Spend seven on your
I know.
I've
spent
bastard.
A shitload of money on food. But my point being is that it's a vice. We understand it's a vice, like drinking, smoking. Chasing pussy legitimately. You know, it's like,
or
whatever. or illegitimate. The point is, it's a vice. Exactly. Why are you in charge of my vices?
Yeah, vices are not crimes.
No.
Vice and prostitution. Look, and you know what the problem is? You know, this is what drives me crazy. That's why I'm glad Colorado legalized marijuana. Yeah. Here's the thing. People are going to do these things.
Right.
Have all these things being illegal stopped them on any level? Did prohibition work?
Especially on the compulsive for the compulsive people.
Yeah, but what people done, are going to do it.
Ironically,
take the crime out of it.
Yeah, like
stop
most
letting criminals make money off it.
Like most government programs, like most do-gooder bullshit initiatives, the people you thought you were going to help are never the people you help.
Yeah, you never help them.
Right. So with gun control, who benefits? The criminals.
Right.
Right. You're not benefiting the legal gun owners.
You're punishing them.
You're punishing them. When it comes to taking away gambling, legalized gambling, who are you hurting? You're hurting the good citizen that just wants to spend an afternoon playing blackjack to relax. That's who you're hurting.
Right.
The compulsive gambler knows where all the illegal parlors are. Yeah. And he's the one who's now going to go to the loan shark for that, you know, 25% a day VIG.
Yeah.
You're not helping the compulsive gambler.
Yeah, and put the criminals out of business.
Yeah.
You legalize marijuana, there's no drug dealers to sell marijuana right now. If you legalize gambling, well, then, you know, you don't have to have sleazy games. You know, like you always see them in movies, the people hiding in like basements and they have like double security guards and everything. What's the point of all that?
It's true. I used to be a degenerate gambler when I was younger.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was actually.
You were just a degenerate. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I always used to play the football games. I would go to the bookies and lay a couple $100 down every week back in the 80s. Yeah, seriously. I mean, I had a problem. Okay? Not like a my life is about to end problem.
No.
But I mean, it was a problem where if I had $200 in my pocket for the month working part-time jobs, even when I was in school.
You might bet it.
I would bet it. Not might. I would bet it. My problem also wasn't that I stopped because I started losing. My problem was I kept winning.
No.
Yeah.
You went from gambling to eating.
That too. But my point is, it didn't take a tragedy for me to realize that I was hooked. But guess what? Gambling wasn't legal back in the 80s in New York at all.
No.
But guess what? 17-year-old Big Fat John, 18-year-old Big Fat John, 19-year-old Big Fat John knew exactly where to go to put some action down.
Absolutely.
Exactly. There are some guys that I don't even want to mention their names for fear that they might still be alive.
For fear that my tribe might come looking for you.
Up on Fordham Road in the Bronx.
Is your last name Belky?
They used to take action from me.
Of course.
Right?
And
I knew where to go.
The people gamble. The people do drugs. The people, they know all that. They know all the outlets. They know where to go.
You and I have been to Vegas.
Yeah.
Have I ever lost my shirt in Vegas? I've learned to control it since then.
Thank God, because you smell.
Oh, horrible.
No, but I know what you mean. But look, these are vices. This is what I always tell people. People are going to gamble. People are going to smoke. Yeah. People are going to drink. People are going to fuck.
Yeah.
Let them do it.
Yeah.
Let them do it.
I agree.
And tell them,
as long as no one's long as no one's being forced to do any of this,
you're not hurting anyone.
Yeah. So no child pornography.
Right.
No sex slaves. No like breaking kneecaps when it comes to gambling losses and shit like that. In other words, the casino has to take the risk on when it takes on a gambler.
Right.
Right. We don't throw people in jail for missing a payment. Right? Like a credit card payment. There's no debtor's prison in this country.
Right.
Right? Same thing should apply to gambling. If someone takes your action, they got to be paid up front or they take the risk of a default.
Right.
Just like anything.
Right.
Right? So as long as nobody's being coerced, nobody's being beat up, no one's being physically harmed, then you're absolutely right, Judah Lariam. It's all good to me. It doesn't mean I'd do it. It doesn't mean I'd want my kid to do it.
Right, but also,
But
also, when you legalize these things, you stop wasting money on
preventing
on cops investigating, undercover cops prosecuting, the cost of incarceration,
right,
and you put criminals out of business.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
Plus, it allows the cops to be working on what they need to be working on: murders, rapes, assholes who do both,
right,
and bank robbers and people who are legitimate.
Yeah.
Criminals.
And you know what? I could hear the people out there, even Republicans out there, are like, does that mean everything is on the table? Does that mean there's everything is good? There's no illegal anything? No, we didn't say that.
We didn't say that.
We said if you choose to engage in an activity where you are only harming yourself potentially,
right,
go fuck yourselves then. Why would anyone care?
It's let none that, of your business. Let it's that supposed person, to be a free society. Yeah,
let that person's family and loved ones worry about it.
Let him worry about himself.
He's, oh, an, let him worry
he's,
about
he's
himself.
An adult. Let him right. do someone and something.
Right,
adult.
Exactly.
And, of course, they always love to pick the things like the thing I saw the other day about the people with problems with gambling.
Right.
They always forget all the people who actually win.
Winning or losing, just people who don't have a problem.
Yeah, but they don't talk about that. Right. They only talk about the problem people. That's.
There's 9 million gamblers in Gamblers Anonymous. Yeah? How many are walking around the casinos without a problem every year?
Yeah.
How many people just, like, you know, can buy a lotto ticket?
That's gambling.
Oh, by the way. The state doesn't seem to have a problem with lotto.
Right, with Powerball, Mega Millions.
When you see women on welfare going and buying like $40 worth of scratch-off tickets every week.
Right. Absolutely.
Why is nobody outraged about that?
Why is that okay?
Why? Because the state is running it? Because they're not playing in a casino?
Right.
Because it's dumb luck as opposed to any chance of winning at all?
Right.
Are you fucking out of your mind?
I'd rather have a scratch and sniff.
Oh. Scratch and sniff taint card. Nice.
I just saw one of your foodie motherfuckers. Right. He was at the roll of me.
I like it. Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Because we're ranting here. Did you catch that, like, the left got really upset at Colbert last week?
No, I didn't see that.
He tried to make a joke, and he tweeted something about what was perceived as anti-aging. Like, he said something like ching chong, ding dong, or something like that. It was an attempt at a joke.
That's like, actually Mandarin.
Almost instantly,
yes.
There was such backlash that he deleted the tweet. That's why I can't remember it, because it's disappeared.
It's a good thing I'm not on that tweet.
And then all of these like Asian advocacy groups were calling for him to be canceled. There was this, I think she was Korean. She went on the HuffPo Post. And to see, first of all, I'm not a big Colbert fan.
No, that's why I'm not familiar with it.
Politically, he's a liberal.
Yeah, pretending to be a kooky right winger.
He's pretending to be Bill O'Reilly. He's satirizing Bill O'Reilly. But guess what? I got on Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, and defended him. Because it's the same reason we hated when people went after Imus or Tosh or any of these fucking people.
Or the Dean of Comedy.
Or the Dean of Comedy, that fucking asshole. The truth of the matter is, let them say what they want. Why do you have to take away someone's living? I don't get it.
Well, that's the part that always cracks me up, that the immediate, like, knee-jerk reaction to any offensive thing is to make you unemployed.
Yeah,
what does that accomplish? It's not going to change your mind.
It makes another person dependent on the government is what it does.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting because this woman, I'm tempted to say that her name was Sarah who? I'm not 100% sure, but whatever.
Palin.
She got on the HuffPo site and was being interviewed live by some dude. And she had this attitude like, you feel like you can interrupt me because you're a privileged white male. Why is that? And you know what was funny? Even the HuffPost guy. Now,
this is the Asian chick talking to you?
Talking to HuffPost's interviewer.
Oh.
Because they did it on camera, live, on the HuffPost site.
Well, he should have said, I don't feel privileged.
Well, and look.
I was just looking to get a number six.
I don't know what this bitch was up to, but who doesn't know that the HuffPost is like a liberal rag.
Left-wing shitbag.
Who half the time would agree with her. It's like, but even for her, even the HuffPo Post wasn't like liberal enough. And I was like, is this what this country again has deteriorated to? Mm-hmm. Everybody's an instant victim. Everybody has to suffer at somebody else's hands. Nobody can fucking stand up for themselves.
No.
Like, if she had any balls, why don't you just come out and say, fuck Colbert?
Right.
Why does she need to involve everybody else?
Yeah, but it's true that the hypersensitivity is just awful.
I'm offended. I have the right not to be offended. No, you don't. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, see, their narrative now is that it damages people. So that's a way of silencing people.
Yeah.
Because if you're damaging people, you have to be stopped.
I mean, fuck that. It's like that whole Ban Bossy campaign. This is more of the same. Look, if you don't think it was the same, if you didn't think it was funny what Colbert tweeted, call him an asshole. Say he's not funny. Don't watch his show.
Don't watch his show and fuck his ratings.
Right. Why the organized campaign and also trying to work through government to get him canceled? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why do we have to pass anti being offended laws.
Yeah, we're becoming like Canada.
Yeah, why are we curtailing free speech?
You can actually
dumb
get in trouble.
Fucks.
Yeah, you get in trouble up there.
One of the prime jewels of this country is our right to free speech and free association. And you dumb fucks want to limit that?
Yeah.
Really? You want to limit it? You want to have government involved in telling you what to say and not say?
And punishing people who you think have said something mean?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
You dumb fucks. Such short-sighted nonsense.
But it's not just that. It's the idea. Like, well, they're really not accomplishing anything. Like, first off, a lot of the people who say these things are saying them as jokes. Now, I understand that a lot of people on the left have no sense of humor whatsoever. But, you know, if you ban words and you fire people, but you're not accomplishing anything. Like, let's put it this way. If the person meant it, you're not changing their mind any.
Right.
They're still going to think whatever bigoted thing that they said. So.
But you know what? They are accomplishing something, Judah Lariam. I'll disagree with you on that. Because right now, how many things do you have working around that's become a dash word? The N word, the R word, the B word, the C word, the M word.
No, but that's not an accomplishment.
That is an accomplishment in their minds. They're changing the way people speak based on their bullshit protests.
Right.
Listen, if someone wants to say nigger, you making them say N word?
Yeah. Well, that
doesn't change the fact that they think that person's a nigger.
Yeah.
I mean, I, to be blunt.
No,
right?
But in other words, if you're using it in the context of a conversation,
yes.
And you said, like, I was listening to someone and you said the N word. What's the point of saying it? And you're not going to say the other five letters.
Right.
We all know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you've put
the word nigger in my head when you say N word.
Of course.
And so what's the point?
And whoever you're referring to was using it.
Right.
So, you know.
So what? You're right. You haven't accomplished anything intellectually.
Yeah.
But what you've accomplished is more control of the individual, the lessening of individual rights, the deterioration of our Constitution, of our Bill of Rights, because you got offended. Is that what we're trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
We're trying to destroy our Constitution because some bitch got her panties in a bunch.
But there's a common denominator to all their dumb shit. Like, for instance, the you know, the banning of the words,
right?
The bullying, if you look at everything that they're on the guns, anything that they think is just negative,
right?
Anything that they think is harmful, anything that they think like demeans or lessens life, you know, in other words, there's just a constant of softness to these people that they can't take any,
right?
Anything bad might happen to
they're
them.
They're such fragile flowers.
They are. They're just weak people.
They're pussies.
Now, like, I understand, like, the only thing, and I've said this, the only thing I agree with a little bit, the bullying a little bit, because I don't think that if you're a little kid going to school.
But you're assuming that it's only school that they're worried about.
No. Well, no, but that is a big focus of their attention right now. I understand it goes beyond that, but I will agree with them to the extent that if a little kid is going to school, schools should be places for education, not for guns, not for drugs, not for metal detectors, and not for other kids to pick on you or beat you up or whatever. No, but seriously, little kids, that's wrong. Anything harmful to little kids. You mentioned before the child pornography.
Yeah.
You know, you have to protect kids because they can't protect themselves.
Okay.
I mean, that's fine. But, you know, the bullying thing, like, to me, where it gets silly is like the whole thing with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with Incognito and
Martin.
You know, that was nonsense for the following reasons. First off, they're all grown men.
Yeah.
They're 6'5", 300-pound NFL players.
Right.
And you're telling me that this guy felt bullied by a couple of other guys who were big and down like it. And then, like, on top of which, you know, the Incognito guy, he became like the poster boy for this shit. But you know what the truth is? That movie that they made about the chick who found Bin Laden, the CIA movie.
Yeah.
Okay. At the beginning, some guy is waterboarding these idiots and getting information out of them.
Right.
And he goes, well, I'll be leaving Afghanistan very soon. She goes, why? And he goes, you don't want to be the last guy holding the dog leash. And he goes, this has been going on. The water boy was forcing information from them. And he's nasty to them.
Right.
And they deserve it.
Right.
Because they're
right.
scumbags. But he says to her, you don't want to be the last guy holding the dog leash. He goes, because that person's going to get fucked.
Yeah.
And when I look at the thing with the dolphins and the incognito, as far as the bullying aspect, that's what I dawned on. I was like, incognito didn't do anything that hasn't been going on in the NFL locker rooms for decades. Right. I said, he's just the last asshole got caught holding the dog leash.
And what's interesting, you're right. And what's interesting is you'll have a lot of NFL players who will claim they've never seen any of that activity. Which personally I think is horseshit, but take them at their word. But did you notice now how we've gone one step past that in the NFL? So even if you accepted the fact that this was hazing, this was inappropriate, the whole nine yards, right? Did you hear what the rule they're considering is?
Oh, they're going to throw flags for anybody who uses the N-word
Bad language
on the field. Yeah, but they specifically said the N-word, which is ridiculous because as somebody once said, it's mostly black guys. It's all black guys saying it to other black guys.
Yeah.
And you're going to have an old white ref throwing a flag on
them. That's what I want to see. If you're going to have this fucking rule, which I am totally against, because you know why? You have unsportsmanlike conduct as a penalty.
Right.
So if someone's really, really cursing and being obnoxious and causing fights, you could just say unsportsmanlike conduct and toss them out of the game.
Right.
You don't need a special rule. Like, what's that ref going to throw the flag and say, what is it? Illegal use of the word nigger, number 88, Giants?
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Yeah. What are you going to say?
15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
Number 88, who happens to be the N-word, calling somebody else the N-word. Trust me, I'm white. I heard it.
And it wasn't the one that ends in G-A. It was the G-E-R version.
It was the wrong one. Not the one that Snoop Dogg uses in Soul Plane.
Oh, you dumb fucks.
Speaking of dumb fucks.
Who are we talking about now?
Who nailed it for once. Mike Francesa.
No, what did he do? What did Francesca do?
He said something. You made me laugh when I was thinking about it. You dummy.
He was making fun of Daniel Murphy, who's a ball player for the Mets.
Right.
That announced he was taking 4 or 5 days off for paternity leave. Listen, I stand with Francesa on his comments.
Yeah.
He's right. What man takes time off, assuming that the birth of your child went smoothly? I'm not saying there, God forbid, there's any problems.
Right.
But, you know, your wife gave birth. Okay, you take the day off, you go to the hospital, you see your kid, you pass out a couple of cigars. They kick the woman out of the hospital now a day after giving birth. They don't let her stay in the hospital.
Yeah, well, they found out that a lot of women, like, up and walking around at, 20 minutes afterwards.
What are you going to do for 4 or 5 days with your wife? That you have to be there all day and you can't be with your team.
And whatever the argument is for that you justify being there, then why not take a week off or a month?
Offer a week.
No, but the point is, when does it stop? I mean, you know.
My question, much like Francesa's, is much more basic. When did this become an issue that needed to be addressed with federal legislation? The whole Family Leave Act. I don't get it. My dad didn't take time off. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if he knew that my mother went to the hospital to give birth or not.
Oh, nice. Your father's a man's man. Kids being born. Yeah, well, look at this carburetor.
Yeah, exactly. My father was a mechanic, absolutely. Yeah, my father really, it was just like, that's a woman's job. Squeezing out kids.
I did my duty. Let me go to work. Will you?
I shot the kid into her. That's about all I need to do here.
And not only did I do all that, I came up with a name. Leave me alone.
Listen, my father was a man's man. Do you know my mother has told me that my father never held me or my sister in his arms as a baby?
Okay. That's a little much.
But he just said, like, I don't want to hold these things.
I'll talk to them when they get older.
Yeah, when they get older and can understand what I'm saying, then I'll bond with them.
That's pretty good.
No, he was terrified that he would crush our heads or something.
Yeah, no, I understand that. A relative once handed me a baby, and I just held it.
Shit.
And I held it, and I stared at it, and I went, this is really not right.
And you know what's wrong about that? If you hold the kid long enough in front of you and stare him, he will vomit on you.
Yeah, or cry. Or cry.
Crying is the least to your worries. He'll either piss on you or vomit on you.
I don't mind vomit. Crying is bad because I have to take that as a sign that I'm ugly. Vomit, I can just like, all right, he threw up. He's a baby. He doesn't know any better. I've hung out with friends who've gotten drunk and thrown up, and they should know better.
Projectile vomiting.
I have a friend who threw up in Chicago and hit the ceiling. I'm not going to hold it against a baby. Because
oh, man. But yeah, Francesco was right, though. I just don't see it.
Absolutely.
I don't understand. And honestly, to me, it's the whole pussification of the country.
Yeah.
Like, men and women equal. No difference between the two. Go fuck yourselves. Women are nurturers. Men aren't.
I am.
At least heterosexual men aren't. No offense.
No offense.
But, you know, so why are we fighting nature's roles here?
Because leftists don't like nature's role. No. They don't like hunter, provider, and nurturers.
Oh, fuck that, for God's sake. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And you know Putin's laughing at us.
Oh.
The ultimate hunter, provider.
Holy shit. And that guy just got divorced, which means he's on the prowl for pussy now.
I got to meet the woman who married him. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine how torn up her snatch is?
Oh, I mean, like, what an Amazon woman. She's marrying the wet work guy for the KGB. Holy macaroni.
Who like, as an official office holder in that parliament, rides around with no shirt on.
Right. This is the leader of the country.
Wrestling bears.
And like and jumping in the water and like wrestling alligators. And like
while our leader puts on a bike helmet to go jogging.
Right. And where's mommy? Jeans and throws out the first pitch and can't read home plate.
We're such faggots as a country is what it comes down to.
Thank God we have like Marines.
Oh yeah.
If not, let me tell you, we defend this fucking place.
Thank God for Marines and the bomb.
And the CIA.
And the bomb.
Yep, and technology, yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah, you don't need to be all that tough if you've got your finger on a nuclear weapon.
That's it.
And you have the launch codes. But you see Putin, he's wrestling bears. He's catching fish in ice streams with his bare hands.
Yeah. He knows judo.
Yeah, he knows Samba. Samba. Oh, that Samba. Russian judo. Yeah, Samba.
No, it's not Savat.
That's French.
French.
Seriously. Yes. Would Putin ever have any part of anything called Savat?
Unless it was something to eat. Unless it was a Savat sandwich last night.
Unless it's something he canoodled out of a stream somewhere while he was hungry.
Canoodled.
All right, Judah Larian, this is getting silly now.
Good.
Do you have a good time tonight?
Yes, I did.
We've given them extra show.
Well, I think you rubbing my thighs has helped them measure.
Nice. Can I flick the head of your cock with my finger?
Oh, you do that. I like when John Light does these pretenses. Stinky banking. I don't normally go this fast.
All right, everyone. Let me just pimp out the show a little bit. Go to thatriotshow.com. Catch all the past episodes. Catch up on the current episodes if you've missed any. Don't forget, you could also go to itunes.thatriotshow.com, stitcher.thatriotshow.com, youtube.thatriotshow.com, riotousclips.thatriotshow.com. Basically, just think of anything, put it in front of .thatriotshow.com. Big Fat John is taking care of it. Follow us on Twitter to catch the way I've been torturing Pete Dominic recently. And Judah Larian, maybe we'll talk about that next week, the trolling of Pete Dominic. We didn't have time to get to it.
We'll do a big trolling section.
All right. Until next time, this is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Larian.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Larian. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. Are 16-year-old girls legal in Tennessee? Just asking for a friend.